Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
I'm sure Inspector Gadget had some sort of toy that could hit my prostate for sure, but it wasn't him.
Okay, wow.
It's another week on That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? It's me, Eric Williams, and I'm requesting a little bit of extra support this week because I just had my last therapy appointment with my sweet straight male therapist. I guess this constitutes as a me, myself, and SSRI.
Me, myself, and SSRI.
I don't know. It's not medication related, but it's therapy related, and I just like the song. Yes, after close to 20 months, I had to end my therapy with my New York therapist because I've crossed borders. And I want to take some space here to let him know. I doubt he listens, but if he listens, God, he was so great. Such a lovely straight man that I guess did some healing with my feelings towards straight men just from the world around us. What's interesting is that he gave me a referral for a new therapist, and I'm not joking when I say the man he referred me is a fucking hot-ass daddy. He is like giving silver, scruff, chiseled jawline. He is very LGBTQ affiliated in his online profiles, which again makes me think that he himself might be gay. And so I'm probably part of my problematic thinking is that the only reason I want to work with him is because it gives me a close chance of smelling his groin. It's not actually what I want to do, but that's the first thing that came to mind. Anyways, I'll keep you posted on my new therapy search. I have another consultation with a California ex-screenwriter. So she'll kind of like know the industry, but also be a therapist. I don't know. Do I go for the hot daddy? Do I go for the industry girly? Vote in the comments. No, but actually, I'm kind of curious what you think. This week, Cindy and I talk about the Netflix show Ultimatum, which is the next trash reality show that's hosted by the Lacheys. I just started watching it, and we talk about it a bit this episode, but I'm going to go into a deeper dive on next week's Patreon, so you can subscribe at patreon.com/gayasspodcast. And if you haven't, follow the podcast or subscribe right when they play this intro music. The wah-ah-ah-ow. Give me a little follow there, and if you haven't given a review, click the 5 stars, and that would truly mean the world. Follow along at Gay Ass Podcast. Enjoy this episode, and I'm sending you all the love in the world. Sydney Washington, I think you know I've been a fan of yours for about 53 years. I am so happy you were on this podcast, and I just want to thank you so much for coming on, and I mean that from the bottom of my gay ass heart.
Thank you. I've seen a lot of people do your pod that honestly I'm friends with and adore. So I was kind of trying to understand why I wasn't asked. Is that a weird thing to say? But I was like, wow, when is he going to get to me?
Never have I ever given someone a compliment that was turned into an insult directed back at me. And yet here we are. No, listen, I think it's because I wanted to make sure the podcast was up to the caliber of the Sydney Washington. And so, you know, you don't want to rush a good thing.
No, it's at a great caliber. As long as you have the conversation, it doesn't matter. So
it does not. Exactly. And I'm so glad it's happening now. I think the audience should know that I saw you in a show here's what's crazy. I saw you at Greta's show. And if you remember, that show was during the Oscars. And so did you emerge from the theater and like also have your phone be going crazy?
It was insane. I saw so many videos of the slap. I thought it was staged.
Yeah.
How many videos I've seen.
We sat in our car right after the show and didn't drive for about 15 minutes because we were trying to decipher what the news was saying. And then we kind of drove in silence because the world had changed, shifted even.
Same. It literally was one of those things that's like, okay, I don't know if my week is even going to matter.
Like, right, exactly. Like, will work happen? Will offices be open? Will the post office be running? We don't know.
I truly was like, we're going to have one of those weeks where it's like, shut everything down. Anything that you were going to post, if you have SponCon, if you have tickets to promote, it's not happening. If it doesn't involve the slap, they don't care.
Yeah, this is like SponCon for Kiehl's lotion, but they have to like now make it about the slap somehow. They're like moisturized hands with the slap. Yeah, it was not a good time for posting at all. I do want to also say that before we started recording, we were talking about Traveling with Mike podcast biz, and I've been listening to your new podcast, Peak 2000s. And I love it. Here's the reason why I love it. It's because it feels so topical, because one of the first episodes talking about the OG days of American Idol. Mm-hmm. And I find myself now back to watching the current American Idol, which I don't know how many of us there are, but there's been a lot of buzz recently because they're trying to bring back the devastation of the contestants by telling them, like, you did not get through, but you did. But in fact, you did not. But here's what's fun is that you did. And they're like, wait, but did I? And so I think the American Idol, have you been tuning into the new season?
I have not. I'm trying to get really, really particular about the TV that I watch, considering like I want to create my own stuff. And so if I get caught up watching everybody else's, then I can't create myself.
Trust me, the struggle is real, especially because there's just too many things to watch. Like, my in-laws will not stop talking about Yellowstone. And I was like, I think I'm not the target odd. No. Although apparently it's good.
The thing is that you open up Twitter and you can see 1,000 opinions about 1,000 shows. And so you're like, what tweet is really going to speak to me in order for me to watch it?
Exactly. And I think that if it doesn't have like a specific bent that speaks to me personally, like, I truly could not tell you what Yellowstone is about. I think it's like maybe a cowboy in a southern...
Yellowstone, I'm assuming it's trees are involved. It's a forest, you know. But I will say on Twitter, the best tweets are for Abbott Elementary. Even if I wasn't watching that, because I'm like, I love Quinta and Janelle and everybody involved. If I didn't know them and I was just based off the tweets, I'm like, I have to watch it because it looks like everybody's having a good time.
Yes. The tweets, I mean, the virality of the Abbott Elementary tweets are like something that should be studied in school, I think.
Very viral, very viral. But it's also like, when you get something that like perfect sound bites for people to be like, yeah, I'm reposting this. This is, even though it's about school, you're like, I can use this quote for anything.
Right. Yeah. But also that's the soundbite that's going around about American Idol right now, is Katy Perry speaking to this like young straight boy that she goes, I'm sorry, we did not put you in the top 24. And then he's literally weeping. Then she goes, you put yourself in the top 24.
Oh my gosh. That's good. That's good. You know what? I will say back in the day, that's why I like back in the day, the early 2000s, the TV felt organic. It didn't curate it. It really felt like, damn, they just put this together and the content is pouring out. Now,
and Simon is just being a dick because he's a dick.
Yeah, but now everything just feels forced and they're like, oh, how can we get people to get on board with this? It doesn't feel like it's for the audience.
Oh, that's true. The first thing that comes to mind when you say that is there's a new Netflix show that I was just reading about that's like still hosted by Nick Lachey and Vanessa Lachey.
Oh my God, I was just watching that yesterday. Ultimatum.
Shut up. Yes.
Okay. All right. So let's break that down. I don't know what bullet points we're going to get into with the pod, but the show, first of all, the hosts, I love them, but if we're going to do Ultimatum, like, I need some spicier hosts.
Then Vanessa and Nick Lachey, who, like, sure, did they have a spicy beginning because Nick was famously with Jessica and then he went with another, like, okay, fine.
We're so far away from that. It's just, I want some hosts that, like, you think they have issues in their marriage. I don't want these people who are like, yes, and so we're here and we love marriage and we're here to help. But I don't, I don't want that.
Yeah, because we love marriage, we're going to try to destroy yours. I'm confused.
Yeah, no. I don't want that.
Wait, so let's pitch. Who do we think would be, whose marriage are we doubting right now? That, of course, would never do it, but would be a dream scenario. I mean, this is maybe low-hanging fruit, but no, even though they're not.
No. Who, I'm not even going to let you say it. I would love John Legend, John Legend and Chrissy Teigen.
Okay, that's actually better, and your eyes should not. Wait, who did you think I was going to say? Do you know?
I hope not Will and Jada.
No, I wasn't gonna say. Okay. Wait, could you? Okay, that, no, I thought you were reading my mind. I was gonna say Kourtney Kardashian and Travis.
Oh, well, they just started. That doesn't count. We can't.
I know, but I feel like this. The only reason they would do it is because they want the press and the stakes are low because they've been together for about 4.5 seconds. However, Chrissy Teigen and John Legend is inspired, and that is why they pay you the big bucks. That would be so good.
Yeah, that would be a great show because you could just see the little nuances that John Legend is like, if I don't be the calm one here, we will get divorced.
And then Chrissy's going to make jokes that are towing the line of appropriateness. And then the camera zooms in on John Legend's eyes. Is he okay with that?
Yes. And he would be completely embarrassed every single episode. So yeah, I think that.
And then they would do a reunion episode. But the real question is, are Chrissy and John okay?
Yeah. Are y'all still together?
Wow. Well, stay tuned for season 14 when Nick and Vanessa somehow retired to hosting Jeopardy.
Okay, and even if we didn't like tell them what Ultimatum is about, the name is what the show
is. Literally, it's like couples go together and then they put them with another person to see if they actually want to be with the original partner they came with, right?
Well, no, one person is like, I want to get married, and the other person, right, is like, I'm not ready. I don't want to. Like, hold on. And so the one is like, if you don't get married to me, I'm going to try to find somebody else here in the show. I'm going to probably pair off with somebody else who might be ready for marriage.
Yeah, it's mess. I mean,
it's a mess.
It's a mess. And I think Love is Blind was a mess. And they realized that people were enjoying some of the mess. And so now they're cranking the mess factor up so much. However, speaking of mess, did you see what they're doing for the next season of Ultimatum already?
No.
They are apparently doing mostly female queer version.
See, and that's where I'm going to stop them now. I like it when the traits are like being problematic and disheveled. We were trying to keep our queer families together. We don't,
especially right now. Like, we're just trying to say the word gay, not tear the gay people apart.
I'm going to say no to Gay Ultimatum. And I would love to see that happen because lesbians love to get married. We the second day, we're like, do I have a ring?
Yeah, so that's, I'm surprised I can find people that.
I'm surprised. This might be a setup. They might pay these people to.
They're all straight.
To pretend.
They're like, okay, one of you has to butch it up. And they're like, I guess. I could wear plaid.
Just casting. It's all casting.
Well, that's the thing. It's all casting.
I won't be watching.
Okay, we're boycotting. We're boycotting Lesbian Ultimatum.
Yeah, because listen, let me tell you, L Word did enough damage. For me, the L Word did enough damage for me. So
have you recovered? Are you okay?
No. I mean, what they did to Pam Grier, I can never forgive them. Mm. Can never.
I am a huge fan of lesbians, but I never watched the L Word. Are you?
I don't think, and you know what? I think that makes you more of a huge fan.
Okay.
That you did not watch the L Word. So that makes you, that you respect us. You respect us enough not to watch the L Word. Yes, I am dragging the L Word on gay ass podcasts.
Well, listen, Ashley Ray, oh, this will not be edited out. Ashley Ray was kind of saying a similar thing about like the fact that I was never watching it maybe shows my respect towards queer women. And I want to say,
yeah, it's just like whatever they put together for that. You know, good for y'all that you wrote it. You know, it was written and it was made. But I think they never moved with the times. And so that's what people thought of, like, what lesbians are like. And it's just like, no, man. We don't have a ton of representation anyway. So then this is the one, like, oh, lesbians in terrible bootcut jeans and blazers just running amok in L.A. Okay, I guess. That's what it is.
You wrote that. That was made.
It was made.
Well, I'm curious to see if at any point in our lifetimes we will get the like mainstream Bachelor, gay, queer. Like, I do think we need really solid, positive representation. The trash monster in me who watches some reality TV would not mind a gorgeous array of men who end up just fucking each other. But again, is that what we need, or is that, should I just go to Twitter porn? That's the question.
Let me tell you, I'm okay with the straights just doing anything and everything their hearts desires. I'm okay with it because we have so many representations of them. There's so many shows just based on, you know, heterosexuality, men and women dating. So I don't care if they put out another show where they look a mess. I don't want it for my people. I just want
We need some more years of like actual good stories before we then go to the garbage
can. But I will say, insider, the lesbian mess is out there. It's crazy. Like the stuff that I hear, I'm like, yeah, I need y'all to never put that story out there because it's bad.
Let's keep it off the internet.
Yeah, it's just, I haven't seen a really bad like lesbian situation gone viral on Twitter. And that's how I know that they respect, you know.
That is a really good point. You're right. It's rare that you actually like, you know, like when you're like, hear those like people live tweeting on an airplane, the couple in front of them either meeting or breaking up, and it's always straight people. But within the community, we're like, people can say all they will about, especially like queer people can say all they will about us as being messy to each other. But we have been pretty good about keeping the image intact when it comes to, well, yeah, I say mostly. I'm sure there are a bunch.
I'm going to say the gay men.
Not as much.
The beige guys, y'all, I don't know. Y'all are really...
Literally, as I was saying that, I was thinking about,
no,
like...
No, I'm like, there's no way. There's no way.
There's no way.
Like, you're doing a great job. You're not. You're
there was the guy that was, like, partying when he was, like, literally had COVID, and he was like, it doesn't matter. And, like, his voice, like, he was like... And then there was recently... I even hate to bring it up because I'm not doing the exact thing I don't want to be doing, but there's videos going up on Twitter about, like... I'll just say, like, people putting things inside of them that they shouldn't. And
that they should not. Oh, no. Remember gays over COVID?
Of course. Yeah. How can I ever forget?
Peak pandemic, gays, like, on a boat in Puerto Rico or something like that.
And that was where the whole meme came of, like, all were tested.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, it was... Listen, let me tell you. I know that, like, lesbian women or like lesbian adjacent or just the queer community and that terrible things go on. But I have not seen, which yesterday I saw a tweet that it's like old, but a woman had a picture of a guy that she met in Miami at the beach. And they're like hugging. And she's like, Twitter, I know what you've done for other people. If you can find this guy, I think he lives in Detroit. Like she was acting like, oh, this might be the one. They find the guy. You know how they find the guy? By his wife. His wife responds, and it's just like, yep, I have not seen that happen to the lesbian. And I love that for us.
Twitter, I see what you've done for others. Let me find this perfect man. Oh, the one that's married? Sure.
Yeah, and he didn't have a ring on. And he was trying to defend himself. And he's like, listen, I was in the water. I didn't want to lose my ring. Also, I spoke to her for 7 minutes. So I don't know why she was looking for me.
Well, now, I mean, that's the thing. Is like, there are so many sides of the story. Because like, what? Like, she could have been cuckoo bananas.
Anybody who's putting just a random photo of them at a pool or a beach, they're like, I met this person, I don't know who they are, can you find them, Twitter? That's psychotic.
Okay, yeah, that's
the fact that Twitter is like, yeah, we're gonna help you, that's how you know it's not good.
Yeah, doxing is doxing.
Doxing is doxing is doxing. Even if you're like, it's for good, it's actually not.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think it's inevitable that every single person will be doxxed at one point, and I just hope I get good doxx where like some crazy person thinks that we're in love and I have to be like, no, I'm married.
I mean, listen, I think that if you don't have an apartment, you can't get doxxed. So more people get homeless. Be homeless and you won't get doxxed. It's your fault for having a home.
That's the new public health campaign that they're going to put out. If you don't want to get doxxed, don't live in a permanent residence.
Right.
Well, listen, I do want to ask the famous podcast question, Sydney Washington. I gotta ask you, whose fault is it that you're gay? Who do we blame, babe?
I'm gonna blame my cousin. Yeah, my cousin.
In the family.
Yeah, my cousin, a boy, obviously. We kissed like 3 times, and every time I was like, this is gross. And I thought it was because he was my cousin, but because he was a boy. I realized when I kissed a girl, I was like, oh, this feels right, even though this girl is
also happens to not be incest.
Yeah, yeah. In my head, I completely was like, oh no, it's girls. I don't like my cousin because he's a boy.
Sydney, here I am feeling embarrassed that at one point I thought one of my cousins was attractive, and you're just kissing them for the 3rd time. I think it's so brave.
You have to kiss somebody 3 times to know if you like them or not.
I do support that. Do you have any regrets about kissing your first cousin?
No. First of all, he was not my first cousin.
Okay, how dare I assume?
My second cousin. And no, because I think that we try to shelter children all the time. We try mm-hmm. to shelter kids. But kids are going to be kids, and they're going to get into everything and anything. And we could tell them, I don't even think we actually tell kids, you shouldn't kiss your cousin. We never tell them that. We actually tell them, you shouldn't be hanging out with strangers. Don't talk to strangers. Strangers are bad. So who are you going to kiss?
Your second cousin. I mean, I think every single person would maybe not be as open as you are being, or as I will probably force myself to be. But at one point, we all have thoughts about someone who happens to be in our extended family, right?
Now that is gross. Having thoughts about family.
You kissed them, though. You had a thought.
Yeah, no. Kissing, it was just like, oh, let's kiss. It was one of those things. It wasn't like, ooh, I was thinking about Kevin. I want to kiss him. It was kind of like, we've seen a kiss on TV.
Oh, yeah. No, I was actually kidding. I've never.
Oh, no. Don't do that. Don't
no,
take it back.
Never had a thought.
No. Don't take it back. I caught you. I love this game.
Here I am trying to shame you, and now I'm like outing myself as like a full on. I just, what I mean is, I'm not walking in.
First of all, we're human beings, and
we're human beings.
I hate to put this. It might sound real, but like there's certain restrictions that you just can't put on the like human body, and that's like attraction, physical attraction to whoever it is, whatever it may be. You have to say in your mind, like, I can't like this person because we are related. And you have to keep saying that over and over and over again. But when you're a young child, when you're like 7 years old,
yeah,
you're not thinking like that.
Not at all. It also depends on like how often you see these, like what the closeness is, because it's also like with friendship too, you are, mm-hmm. it's basically the same thing. You're telling yourself, this is my close friend. I should not do anything that would like blur any sort of line. But of course, if you have an attractive friend and you're like, oh, would it be like, there's obviously plenty of stories of people kissing because it just feels like the moment is right.
Yeah. I think there's nothing wrong with like having those feelings and then working through it, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think when you tell someone you can't do it, that actually makes them want to do it more.
Totally.
And I think that's why people don't say, hey, you shouldn't kiss or fuck family, because they're like, if I put that in their head, they might just go against the grain and do it.
And again, just like the lesbians aren't putting things on Twitter, we do not know what's happening.
We don't.
Offline.
We do not. And that's why, here is a problematic thing that I'm about to say. I think that's why people cheat, because we tell people all the time, you shouldn't cheat. Cheating is bad. Cheating is bad. So people in their head, they're like, if you're telling me this is bad, I'm going to do it.
Yes, which is partly why I think the straight community in many ways has such a rampant issue with that. Mm-hmm. And of course, everyone fucking cheats, but, or like it's in every community. However, statistically, it's probably worse in the straight community, because for centuries, they've been told, like with the Bible and with whatever the fuck, of like, if you cheat on your spouse, you're burning in hell, XYZ. And I think you're right that there's a rebellion against that. Whereas queer people have been told since the day they were born that you're already wrong for being who you are. And so exactly. There's like less rules about it. And right. So then I bet you there's more faithfulness.
People gay too. saying that people saying that gay is bad, gay is wrong, like you shouldn't have these feelings, it actually pushes those feelings more in, like you're up, but you're like, oh wait, do I like the same sex? Like, because you keep hearing people have like such bad views on it, you're like,
yeah,
try it out. Well, let me try.
You're constantly reminded of how bad it is. And so then you're constantly just reminded of it being a thing. And then you're constantly being faced with the fact that you are probably that thing that mm-hmm. they're talking about.
And even, okay, now I'm taking it to another level. That's why I think polyamorous situations, they always end in cheating, because even though it's like, it's open, we can like have this discussion of, oh, I can see this person. I can see you with it. We can have multiple people. There's always going to be that person that's like, I'm not going to mention this little thing.
Oh, and
now you have this whole openness.
So that's the hot take. Are you saying that from your, do you observe that people in open relationships, do you think that is, do you have a stance about, is it playing with fire, or what do we feel about like what you notice in a general sense?
Absolutely. Whenever you're in a situationship or a relationship and you're like, oh, we're open, or we could have multiple partners, there's still issues because people lie. People lie and hide things. Even no matter what, you're like, oh, we could do anything. You could do whatever you want, long as you tell me. They don't want to tell you because that's not hot. Do you get wet being honest? No, it's the lies. It's the lies that turn you on.
Lies make you wet. Lies make you wet. That's a new song.
Title of the show, Lies Make You Wet.
I think that's Lies Make You Wet is the title of this episode. Yeah. Although it's also going to be a new song written by Doja Cat. Someone really good. I do think that's true. I do want to counter it by saying I think that if we're talking about gay men, I actually find that it seems like there is less cheating amongst open like marriages that I've noticed, because they're being so open about how horny they are, and they're just like, oh, I want to do X, Y, and Z. And then versus, I think there, of course there's cheating everywhere, but I don't know. I think that like for me there's less of it with gay men just because it's so accepted of how horny and gross we are.
I don't know. Maybe my community is fucked up, but I hear about the cheating, honey.
Oh, maybe I just don't hear about it.
I hear about the cheating even when it's an open situation. So I'm just saying it people do the opposite of like what people say is good. Always.
I mean, it's lying is what? Lying makes you what?
It's enticing. Oh, you shouldn't do drugs. Why is everybody doing drugs?
I mean, that's probably why I smoked weed for the first time, because I, you know, went to college and I was like, oh, I'm not supposed to do this, but I'm in college and this is what you do. But I will say it's legal in California, and I am now feeling like everyone else is a prude where it's not legal. I feel like.
But that's the thing. It is legal here, but I don't see people just like all out in the open smoking weed.
True, 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 true.
But when I go to other places, people are like smoking weed. It almost looks like they're smoking weed in like the most crackish crackhead way, because they're not supposed to. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, let people be able to do whatever they want, and it'll make them less want to do it. I believe that.
Well, speaking of things that is not allowed right now, you had a tweet that I very much identify with about Uber pools, because you say you want them to come back. And I think you said, $8 rides are better than all of Disneyland, which I think is 100% true. But my favorite story that you wrote about is how you were once in an Uber share, an Uber pool, and there was like a gay guy that was going to find out if his boyfriend was cheating on him. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. He was not tweeting about it. You were witnessing it in real time. And that is something I don't miss the like hour and 20 minute ride that could have been a 25 minute ride, but I do miss the drama of strangers.
Well, if you just timed it out right, you're like, oh, if I get in this Uber pool now, it's going to take me 2 hours to get there. But like, there's so much stuff that's going to happen in the 2 hours. It's like, come on, it's better than watching TV. I would egg people on, because I knew stuff was going to pop off. And I was like, I need this. Like for me, right, I can create whatever ride I want. Mm. You know? if I'm being like odd and weird and standoffish, people are not going to talk to me. But if I'm open and that's where all my stories come from. It's just being readily available to hear the trash. And I'm ready.
So do you remember how there was an opening for you to find out that this guy was doing what he was doing?
Oh, no, the guy got in the car immediately and was like, oh, I just want to let y'all know, I'm going to find out if my doing some fuck shit.
He was like, we are now family. Yeah. Buckle up.
He was furious. I was like, well, please don't tell me if you're going to go burn his place down, because I don't want to be
a witness in the trial.
Yeah, I don't need to be connected to that. But anything else, I'm down for.
I just am so jealous that I wasn't there. Did you get any sort of closure on it?
No, I had to go. I really did have to go. I was like, I can't, we can't. The driver was like, I will wait to hear. I was like, you got to get this man's number and find out, because I have to go to work. I really do.
Oh, man. You know what? He should host the Netflix show instead of the Lachey's.
I know. I wish I knew where these people are now.
Let's watch them be like happily married. I mean, in what world?
No.
Well, I do want to go back to the cousin kissing, only for the fact of like, you're young, you kiss this cousin and you realize like it's not what was feeling natural or right to you, but not because of cousin, because he was a boy. What was your first girl moment?
My neighbor.
Oh.
The girl that was my neighbor. She was older than me, but yeah, I don't know. She probably knew better than I did, but I think it was more about the exploration of knowing how to kiss.
Hmm.
Can we kiss? Like we're not good at it.
And then when you did the experimentation, did you feel like a feeling in your body?
I felt something. I felt nothing with my cousin. I was like, oh, it was just a kiss.
It felt like kissing your cousin.
I don't want to coin that term, but I definitely was like, yeah, not into this.
I mean, that is, I won't coin that term, but I will tell you, when I kissed a girl when I was in high school, it truly felt like I was kissing my mom.
Mm,
that like hurts. And of course I like meant and mean no disrespect to her, but there's just like a biological feeling.
You know, when you're just like not into somebody. I had a joke. Yeah. I had a joke that like, apparently people were upset about it. I had like, I got really fucked up and I was hanging out with a guy that was like my friend, but I guess he kind of into me or whatever. But we're drinking and hanging out or whatever. And then we got in a cab and he was making sure that I was getting home. So he dropped me off first. And he tried to kiss me, and I ended up like throwing up, not in his mouth, but I like I opened the door and threw up. And so I was like, not only did I know that I didn't like men, but it's very specific that I didn't need to kiss white men. And they're like, Sydney, that's racist. And I was like, no, it's not. It's actually speaking towards my homosexuality, if anything.
And you're also just telling a true story.
Yeah, I can't help that my body rejected him.
You did not choose to literally lose your lunch.
Yeah, yeah. It was more, it had nothing to do with that. It was like, girl, why were you drinking like SoCo Lime? You're SoCo Lime shots. I'm drinking like rum punch. I was mixing drinks and that's why I threw up. It had nothing to do with him being a man, but that's not the joke. Like, hello.
Hello, find the joke.
Oh, I mean, why do I have to explain the joke, honey?
That is not what we need to be doing. I get made fun of for still having a hankering towards Malibu rum. I think like there, I know you're making a face. You're really making a face. It takes me back to the days of college, I think. And I don't actively still drink it, but if I ever want to purchase it, my husband's like, back on the shelf.
Yeah. Yeah. I will. There's one liquor that I can never drink, and that's Absolute Citron.
Oh,
remember,
yeah.
Remember when Absolute was like a big deal and they had like so much branding, many parties, it was everywhere. And they were making random flavors.
I was going to say there was like marshmallow, like toasted marshmallow vodka.
Flavors. Well, I had Absolute Citron and I used to drink it with, remember Sprite Remix?
Of course.
Remember they had Sprite Remix? Yeah. So I mixed it with that. And with no ice. And it was just, like, I'm drinking it neat with Sprite Remix. And ooh, and I tell you, I was in college, like throwing up my whole soul all night.
I'm picturing you ordering, can I get a Citrone vodka, a Sprite Remix, neat? I go back to the days of Four Loko as well. That was tough. Wasn't it illegal at one point?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I think it was. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's, I'm just grateful that I don't even drink a ton anymore, because I just, it makes me feel like sad about the world. So I stick to my weed.
I'm sober, and so yeah, I'm sad overall, but yeah, I can't drink.
Oh yeah, you tweeted about Euphoria. You're like, you're watching, like, it was crazy watching all of the, it felt like being on drugs is watching the show.
Yeah, yeah. It was one of those things where I was like, yeah, I probably should stop watching this because this is triggering, but I just had to keep going. So,
oh, I can't. I was triggered too, just being like, this, like, it's Zendaya's fault for being such a good actor. I was,
she's
like,
a fucking, give her everything she wants. Give her anything she wants.
It seems like she has been on drugs before, but she's probably just that good of an actor that she's just so good at portraying it.
Obviously she's not method, because I don't think she's ever done like hard drugs before.
Right.
But I think to tap into that despair and tap into that moment where you're like, I am at my rock bottom, is completely fine.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I do want to ask another question that we are contractually obligated to ask on this podcast, which is, if the world was ending and you could only save one character actress, who would you save?
That's tough. That's a tough one for me. I mean, I'm a ride or die for Viola Davis. I mean, I want anything and everything for her. She's not gay, but I would save her.
No, I think she is a incredible choice. I mean, I'm actually trying to go back on my memory banks. I have loved her for so long, but I can't remember like the first thing I saw her in that, like,
she was always in everything. She was
everything.
Like, you just would see her if she's not in Law and Order SVU, she's like playing another role in another like bigger show. She was very open to being in whatever she needed. She needed to get her face out there, and also just doing the work, being whatever characters.
And just like Zendaya, she deserves the world. I want her, I hope that she is treated like a god, whatever room she walks into in the Hollywood world, because it seems like from what she says that there is still like treatment with pay disparity and just like contract things that, like, how the hell can you disrespect Viola Davis like that? I do not understand.
Because she's an older woman. She's an older woman. So right there, no respects, because ageism. But also it's just like, she's Black. Like, it's the racism is thick. It's thick in the industry. And no matter how much they're like, oh, we're diverse, we're getting better, it's like, you're not, because people are talking about the pay. People are speaking on the pay in interviews and even just in small conversations. And if you know what people are making, then you can actively say, boom, I know that you're being fucked up.
Based on
we have the same credits, we've done the same things, we're in the same status. Why is this person getting more money than me?
And I think that's hopefully becoming more of a norm of openly talking about pay, because clearly for generations, it was like, no, it's rude to talk about how much money you make. No, it's rude for the corporations to feel like they don't have the upper hand. That's what they think.
Well, it depends. It depends. Some people don't want to talk about pay because then they don't want to be honest that they're benefiting from the racism.
Yeah.
If they talk about their pay, then that will snowball effect into like, oh, then I'm not going to be getting paid like this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be in the position to not make my coins. But it's like, well, then don't say you're an ally. Then you're not. You're not even an ally with a lowercase a. Because if you are so concerned at this point, you're probably making enough money that like you can probably be open and honest about how much money you're making.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't want to do that, it's because you want to benefit off of that.
100%. There's also something coming to mind when we're talking about older non-white female actresses. The movie that I need to see, Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Everybody is talking about it.
Everyone is talking about it. And I'm so, there's an interview that's going around right now of Michelle
is it Michelle Yeoh? Is that how you say her last name? She, like, talking about, like now is, like, she's been waiting for something like this. And I can only imagine the, like, the path that she has taken to get to this moment. Have you seen the movie yet?
No, I want to see it.
I want to see it so...
Everybody's talking about it.
And it seems like it's trending towards, like, being a monster hit. And I hope that it is, because I... A little bit of a name drop, I guess, is that the first person I ever met when I went to college was Stephanie Hsu, who is one of the stars of this movie. And
are you serious?
Yeah, I literally...
You've been the first one to go watch.
I know. Listen, it came out 2 seconds ago.
Right, right, right.
You know this, I'm sure you're actually one of these people to me. It's like you meet somebody like, you know they're a hit. You know they're a fucking hit. And this girl was like, Steph, she's just like... The second I met her, she's just so... funny, vibrant, smart, everything. And but then when it actually happens, like her being this monster hit, it's so crazy. My age, so 32.
32. Okay, so she's not old. She's young. Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
I think breaking out in like your early 30s, that's still really young.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And the age thing with her, she's totally young and like and exploding, and she's already done like 2 or 3 Broadway shows and like, but I'm enjoying seeing more things like this get made. Of course, there's so much work to be done, but like I can only hope that this movie is like makes $1 billion, even though it's like an indie film and all
that. I'm sure it will. The way people are talking about it and the way they're reposting it, I know it will. We're on this pod saying we gotta go see it. So we're gonna go see it.
It's working.
Yeah.
The marketing's working.
Mm-hmm. But that's what it is. Like, people don't understand that, like, ads, PR, all those things pour into something being a hit. Because most people are sheep. They need to see people talking about it for them to catch on, for them to be like, okay, then I'm going to give it a time of day. And if the PR is so strong, even if they go see it and they don't like it, they won't say that they don't like it. They're like, I saw it, because they want to be a part of something. They want to be a,
you
need to understand that, like these shows that don't get as much, you know, views, it's because it's not promoted properly.
Yeah. One of the only movies I saw in the first 2 years of the pandemic, maybe the only one, was Zola. And that's because of the Twitter, like all the people talking about it.
Everybody's talking about it. Everyone. And it took a while for it to get made and be put out.
Yeah.
But I mean, boom. If it's the A24, everybody's going to catch on. Like A24 is that girl. So
that girl.
You don't have the same type of like budget or buzz or whatever. It's just not going to do well. That doesn't mean that it's not good. And that's what a lot of the industry has to realize, that that's another racist thing that goes on, is that they pour all this money into this one show and other shows that are great. I mean, I think like Abbott Elementary is one, it's ABC. So I think it's going to do well anyway, but like Twitter, they are doing all, like so much PR for it. And it's insane. It's beautiful. And I think that's what more like people of color should do for shows. That's like, we actually have the power to make something a hit as well.
Totally. I do want to ask, when you were growing up and having these moments, where there's always like celebrity crushes that I feel like people latch onto. Do you have anything that comes into mind of like people that you like were feeling like a romantic in love connection with growing up?
I don't know. I was really into, I think everybody was at one point, Halle Berry. I saw her and I was like, She's it. She's everything. Like, she's so beautiful. And if it wasn't Halle Berry, then I'm taking it to just a weird place. I was obsessed with like animation, like characters. So I was loving Sailor Moon.
Oh yeah.
Sailor Moon. I don't know why. She didn't look sexual at all, but it's like something about the bangs, the energy, the long legs. I'm like, I would kiss her. I kiss my cousin, so why would I not kiss Sailor Moon?
Why not Sailor Moon? I got really confused by Jessica Rabbit. Like,
oh yeah, oh Jessica Rabbit.
The bunny titties. Come on, that I was like,
first of all, that hit everybody's sexuality. They're like, are you gay? Are you straight? Or are you attracted to Jessica Rabbit? Like those are the, there's the genres.
The three sexualities.
Mm-hmm.
Gay, straight, Jessica Rabbit.
Yep.
Now, is that the title? We'll figure it out. I think that there's few people that can really transcend those things. And I do think Halle Berry is one for me as well. She is so fucking gorgeous. I think Jessica Rabbit was animated in a way that somehow hit the buttons. I think Samantha Jones in Sex and the City, I try to fantasize about her when I would be in the shower because I wanted to prove to myself that I could be straight.
Okay.
Like on the Kinsey scale, I think I'm really far gay. Like I really, really far. But I think like there's one percentage point that could be Kim Cattrall.
Okay. That I think that is also another genre of sexuality. So I like
100%.
Oh, wait. Another one. Eon Flux. Remember it was on MTV?
I'm looking up right now.
Eon Flux. It was like late night. It was like right after Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, yeah.
Leather outfit or like latex outfit. That show was so disgustingly sexual.
This is such a niche ref.
Yeah, it is niche. It's like, you old bitch. I'm like, yes. Those are the shows that I would watch.
I think I'm going to post on the podcast Instagram these pictures because she is a sexual cartoon bitch.
Mm-hmm.
I hope our queer girlies know about her because
I feel like they should. I mean, you have to pay homage to her. I mean, yes, she was making out with like disgusting men, but I mean, she did it for the work. It was for work.
There's also a cartoon that in like my like college days, it's like a spy guy in a tux, but it was like a comedy. I know someone knows what I'm talking about.
It's not Mr. Gadget, is it?
No, but I do remember being like, what else do you have under that coat? I'm sure Inspector Gadget had some sort of toy that could hit my prostate for sure, but it wasn't him.
Okay, wow, Eric, that's what we're saying.
What is going on under that jacket?
That's live. We're saying that live here.
We're live. This is streaming. On Gay Ass Podcast. Speaking of, since we have to end soon, I got to ask a question that you weren't prepped for, but I got to know your answer. Sydney Washington, what is the best Whoopi Goldberg film?
The best. I am going to go for... She wasn't the main character in this, but I really did love her and How Stella Got Her Groove Back. She was so funny.
I'm ashamed to admit this. I forgot she's in that movie.
Yeah, she was with Angela Bassett. How could you... She was like... supporting actors. How do you forget?
I haven't seen that literally since like I was a teenager.
Listen, this is what the problem is that we have to go back and look at the old stuff. We can't just keep watching new things.
And yet there's so many. I just found out a Whoopi film last week that I haven't seen.
I can't be rude to the sister act franchise. So obviously.
And I was hoping we would get to that moment, and yeah, we did. And I want to thank you for that.
Okay, so I want to say, How Stella Got Her Groove Back is part two to I Love Her in Sister Act two. So
what a beautiful answer! It's so layered.
I skipped over that. That was
no. You took your time to really. You hit all the right spots. Yeah. Well, Sydney, I want to thank you for coming on this podcast. It has been a dream of mine for a while, and you truly surpassed my expectations.
Like, I'm like, did I give you everything that you needed?
Everything and more. Are you kidding?
I mean,
I have truly.
I'm always like, there's more. You have to give them more. You have to give them so much. They have to cut.
No, you are giving me USPS because you delivered. Where can people follow you?
I'm on Twitter as JustedNYC. I really just repost other people's tweets because that makes me feel like I'm doing something. I am, contributing to the world, but I'm mainly on Instagram, which is JustedBW. That's where I have like my Barbie stories and crazy things that I put in my Insta stories because that's where my brand lies. It lies in the Insta stories, so.
The brand lies in the Insta stories.
Oh, please promote. I have a solo show called How to Start a Fire. It'll be at Elysian April 23rd at 8 p.m. And it's about my childhood. I accidentally burned my house down. So it's like all these stories that lead up to me burning the house down.
Oh my God. I mean, I will literally be there. April 23rd, everyone, come with me. This is going to be amazing.
I think if you don't go, it's very racist and homophobic. So.
And there you go. There you go. Sydney, that you heard it here first.
Thank you.
Friend of the Pod Production.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.